ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Today, as we continue this program on Thursday Live, I want to share with you something about the beauty of Prashanti Nilayam. Every morning as I walk around in the ashram, every corner I see, every tree, every stone, every shrub, every beautiful pillar, every beautiful corner, I always feel that Prashanti is continuously narrating to me so many beautiful tales. It is, how much can I hear? It is, how much can I tune myself to learn from every stone and every bird, every snail, every twig of Prashanti Nilayam. As I walk around in the ashram, I always feel that there is inspiration flowing from every direction. And the day when I was walking on the canteen road, my eyes fell on the Thought for the Day board, and to me it is the most charming board of Prashanti Nilayam. The older things get in Prashanti, that much more exquisite, nostalgic and charming they become, is it not? Just look at this board, for example. One glimpse at it and you are filled with joy ample. If you just think about this board, if you contemplate on the beauty, sublimity that this board has been exuding for years, for decades, how many tears and transformations has this board seen? How many smiles and giggles has this board heard? How many promises and confessions has this board listened? How many stories of trials and triumphs has this board witnessed? So many people stand in front of this board, they read those messages, and so much happens inside their being. As a child, I remember I would write down these quotes in a notebook. Every winter vacation, every summer vacation, if Swami was in Prashanti, I was in the ashram, and every day it would be my routine to write down, and have seen this being done by so many devotees, so many Balvikas children, so many young and old, year after year. This board is packed with emotion, devotion, celebration and sublimation. That is why no wonder one glance at it and you are taken on a journey yonder. And so many say how they had this thing troubling them in their mind, and they went and read the board, and how they found their answer. How this is what was bothering them, and they read the board, and tears started streaming down their cheeks, because they heard Bhagwan speaking to them. How they were thinking how to solve this knotting problem of their life, how they were having sleepless nights, and they read that message on the board, and at once they feel light. They feel they can just leave and rest in peace. Leave everything and make their journey simpler, easier. What is more interesting is, this is the journey, this is the experience not for just everyone who reads these messages, but this is also the experience for the man who writes these messages every day. In fact, this man is as charming as the messages he writes every day. And he has been doing this for more than 26 years now, without fail, did not miss a single day. And to me, discovering the story of this steadfast servitor of Bhagwan, so silently adding to the joy of so many day after day, and doing it with a sweet smile, with so much joy, with so much interest, so much eagerness. Meeting him was such an ennobling experience. What childlike purity and joy he exudes when he shares his joy of how excited he is every day to write these quotes. And with a childlike enthusiasm, he says, you know, initially when I started writing, it was so difficult. I didn't know how to write in straight line. But see, with time I'm able to write now. It is his grace. It is purely his grace. I am nothing. It is just, see how Bhagwan made it happen through me. Everything in his life, small or big, he is so sincerely, so genuinely attributing it to his grace. He's like a child in God's arms who wanted nothing. Nothing except God and good company right from his childhood. And his name is also so beautiful. Ravindra Anant Kulkarni. Truly, it was a joy interacting with this sacred soul. Kulkarni ji was born on September 30th, 1950 in Pune, in the state of Maharashtra, India. His father did clerical job in the Satara port in Maharashtra, while his mother was a pious housewife. Both the parents were very religious, very noble. Kulkarni ji had a sister who died in her childhood. She was just 5 or 6 years when suddenly parents lost this daughter. And Ravindra was born to them 15 years after the sister passed away. And of course, Ravindra Anant Kulkarni ji has no idea of this sister. When he was born, he was the only surviving child of the parents who was born after 15 years of his sister passing away. Being the only child, he received a lot of love and affection from the parents. But destiny had different plans for him. Unfortunately, when he was 12 years old, his father died of a heart ailment. And from then on, he was under the care of his maternal uncle, who was a spiritual person like his mother. So this maternal uncle started taking care of Ravindra Kulkarni and his mother. And this uncle was a regular visitor to the Ramakrishna Math in Pune. And he would often take Ravindra along with him whenever he went to the Math. And all these visits to the Ramakrishna Math in Pune were very welcome opportunities for Ravindra. Every visit made an indelible impression on him. He loved to go to the ashram. He loved to see the saints. He loved to participate in the satsangs, even though he was so young. Given the interest he had on this path, uncle thought maybe it is good for him to join the Math. And in 1967, when Ravindra Anand Kulkarni was just 17 years, his maternal uncle asked him if he would like to join the Math and serve there. And for Ravindra, it was such a welcome chance, because he always loved to be in the midst of sadhus and saints. He loved to do worship. He loved to listen to satsangs. And so this chance to be fully involved in such activities just gladdened his heart, and he jumped at this opportunity. And that is how, in 1967, he formally joined the Ramakrishna Math in Pune as the pujari, the priest of the mandir there. So every day he had the opportunity to worship the shrines of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, of Swami Vivekananda, of Mata Sharada, maintain the temple premises. Both morning and evening there were rituals to be done and aarti to be performed. And he loved this work. For him it was never work, it was just joy. And in that same enthusiasm, he continued to serve the Math, not just for a year or two, or even 5 or 10 years, but for 17 long years. He joined there at the age of 17 and served in the Math for 17 long years, from 1967 to 1985. And it was always free service. It was always voluntary service. It was always done from the heart. He expected nothing. He wanted nothing. So during this period, to support himself, he also took up a job. This happened in 1975. He joined a company called Dr. Beck and Co., which was into manufacturing electrical insulations and construction chemicals and so on. Kulkarniji had done his 10th grade. So and in those days, with that qualification and given his aptitude, he was selected, and he was doing accounting and billing in that company. And now this job suited him very well, because the timings matched perfectly with his duties in the Ramakrishna Math. He could get up early, finish the puja, do the aarti, and then go to the company for work. And he could return in time for the evening puja. He would work in the company for 7 to 8 hours. But rest of the time, he was back in the Math, and he continued to do his mandatory morning and evening puja and aarti. His mother stayed very close to the Math in a room outside the Math, and he visited his mother every now and then and took care of her needs. while he stayed inside the mud. But again, as time passed, his old mother also left him, and in a very smooth, noble manner, his mother too merged with Bhagwan. In 1977, he was 27 years old then. So now there was no one in the world with whom he really had any strong ties. He has never seen his sister. Father passed away when he was 12. Mother passed away when he was 27. And for him, his life has been just serving in the mud, serving and worshipping Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, Swami Vivekananda, and Mata Sharada. The work in the company was just to earn something so that he can serve voluntarily in the mud. In those days, he was earning 4,000 rupees, and he so joyously, Kulkarni says, that was so much money, that's so much money for me, I didn't need. For him, the great joy was just being in the mud, and the opportunity of being in the company of so many pious souls, and with a lot of excitement, he would say, you know what, I got the chance to serve so many sacred monks of the Ramakrishna mission. They should come to the mud. And they used to do the satsangs on Ramayana. They used to read the Gita. I attended those discussions on Gyaneshwari, the Gita written by Sant Gyaneshwar. And you know what? I also had the opportunities to serve Swami Vireshwarananda, the direct disciple of Sharada Mata. Now for him, these opportunities to serve these holy souls who came to the mud was such a look forward to chance. And in fact, during one visit of Swami Vireshwarananda, a beautiful thing happened which set his life onto the path of spiritual sadhana in a more rigorous manner. Swami Vireshwarananda selected him out of so many to grant Mantropadesha. And once he was bestowed mantra from Swami Vireshwarananda, Kulkarni ji made it his life's mission to steadfastly do this mantra japam. No matter where he was, no matter what his condition was, he would never miss his mantra japam. Because for him, the chance to receive that initiation from Swami Vireshwarananda, from such a revered saint, a saint who served as the president of the central headquarters of the Ramakrishna mission in Belur Math for 18 long years, and him choosing Kulkarni ji out of so many and personally giving Mantropadesha was such a precious chance that even till this day, Kulkarni ji is very, very non-compromising on his japa sadhana. He has never missed a single day. His mandatory morning japa routine and evening japa routine happen. This has been his schedule for more than 30 years now. He never wanted anything from the mud. For him, this is what the mud gave him. This is what this chance to serve and this chance to receive initiation was the joy, was the reward. As he very, very happily recalls, I was very content. I never felt I missed anything. When I asked him, don't you think, you know, you miss something in life? He said, no, I was so content. I asked him, don't you Didn't you ever feel that, you know, you need something to spice up your life? You're all the time just in the ashram. Did you never feel that, you know, you lost out something in life? And he just smiles and says, no, I never had any other desire. I never felt that I had any desire to experience anything else. I was so full. I was so happy. In fact, but I also had my little joys. I would go to many spiritual places, only spiritual places, only religious places. I would visit off and on whenever I was able to save little money. I would go. You know what? I have gone to so many Ramakrishna Mutts. I've seen almost all the Mutts in India. I have gone to Chardham, I have gone to Badrinath, Kedarnath, Gangotri, Yamunotri. I have gone to Amarnath, I have gone to Vaishnav Devi. And I would go with these sons, I would go with this Ramakrishna Mission brothers, and you know, I would go with these sadhus. And I enjoyed being with them and traveling and seeing these holy places. But whatever is possible. So I said, you know what, if you earned more, you could have actually gone on more trips. He said, no, that, whatever, this is perfectly fine. Whatever is possible within this, I am perfectly okay. You know what, I have gone to Belur Mutt, I have gone 5 times, you know, with that childlike joy. I have gone to Belur Mutt 5 times. I have gone to Kumbh Melas also. I was in Allahabad in 1989 for the Kumbh Mela there. I told, see, if you had more money, if you had more resources, you could have enjoyed this more. And he says, no. More money means more desires. I'm just happy. I'm happy with whatever little I have. I save whatever I have and I manage to go to the places to the extent I can. That is enough. This journey anyway is not so important. Ultimately, inner journey is important. So, whatever little I can travel, that's perfect. And so focused on inner journey, Kulkarni ji was that he left his job in 1988 after working in the company for 13 years. That's all he has worked formally in all his entire life. He just worked for 13 years in this company. He applied for voluntary retirement because for him that inner journey was so important. And since then, he's been living on his savings, whatever he had for working for 13 years in that company. And he's so content. And I asked Kulkarni ji, when you are so happy, so content, so desireless, serving in the Ramakrishna Mission, how did you come to Puttaparthi? Why did you feel that you have to come to Puttaparthi? How did Puttaparthi pull you? You were anyway so full. You never really were looking for anything else in life. And he said, well, something happened in 1984. The Ramakrishna Mutt Ashram in Pune had an organizational change. It was now affiliated formally to the Belur Mutt, and there were many administrative and management changes. Many people from Belur Mutt now came to manage the affairs of the Ramakrishna Mutt in Pune, and the pujas also were done by people appointed by them. So it was at this time that, you know, I felt maybe the Ramakrishna Mutt in Pune does not need my service like before. Maybe I should move to some other place. I'm not of much use here. And in any case, he had left his job. So he used to now live in a rented place outside the Mutt, because after all these changes that happened, he was no more the pujari of the Mutt. So he took a place outside the Mutt, and here he would live in a little room and every day visit the mutt and participate in the satsangs, in the pujas. Never missed any opportunity to hear any sacred talk. And it was during this period that he also was attending satsangs in various other places, wherever there was any opportunity. And it was during one such time that he listened to a talk by one Swamiji by name Swami Swarupananda. And it was during this session of listening to Swami Swarupananda that he met a noble gentleman by name Mr. Sant. And this Mr. Sant started telling Kulkarniji about Bhagwan, about Shakti Sai Baba, about Puttaparthi and so on. And what he heard about Swami was so intriguing and so beautiful that increased his curiosity to see Swami, to know more about Bhagwan. And Mr. Sant said, see, there are people going now to Puttaparthi in two buses from here. They will visit many South Indian spiritual places, temples, and then will also go to Puttaparthi. And he said, see, there are two seats left. In one, my daughter's son will go. One seat is still free. Do you want to go? And Kulkarniji immediately accepted that offer. Anyway, he was now not the pujari. He had this call, he felt, because he did not do anything on his own. It was just coming to him and one seat was left. So he said, okay, I will go. So that is how Kulkarniji set off on the South India trip. And they visited many temples in Belgaum and Hubli. There are many beautiful spiritual places in South India, Sringeri and so on. And finally they came to Puttaparthi. And the day Kulkarniji stepped into the Prashanti Nilayam ashram, that day happened to be a day of beautiful celebration. It was Janmashtami day. There was so much of gaiety. There was so much of beautiful music and song, Sai Gita with Bhagwan and cows and cowboys and all these adharam madhuram, vachanam madhuram, nayanam madhuram, hasitam madhuram, all these beautiful mantras going on. And in the midst of all these, when Kulkarniji had his first darshan of Bhagwan in lovely red, he was so captivated, he was so taken in by that darshan of Bhagwan that he was completely mesmerized. He just knew that this is where he belonged. He just intuitively felt that this is where his life is going to be. He says, I cannot explain. I just felt that this is where I have to be. This is where my soul will finally find rest. This is where I can progress on my spiritual path. So during that brief period when he was out of the mud and he was thinking, where should I go? It was exactly at that time that Bhagwan pulls him to Prashanti. It was probably, may be, because it was Bhagwan's way of maybe preparing him for so long for him to come to Puttaparthi. Maybe it was the right time for the soul now to come face to face with the divine. And he so fondly says, see how Bhagwan pulled me at the right time. My loving Swami pulled me here to take care of me When I saw him, instantly I knew, this is what I need. This is what will fill me with the rich spiritual experiences. He was there just for a day, but the impact was so intense that he just longed to come back. He had to go back because he had come with that bus with so many other devotees. He went back, but his mind was in Puttaparthi. His mind was locked to that darshan of Bhagwan, and he had decided that he has to settle down in Prashanthi Nilayam, but he did not know how, so he made inquiries, and that is when he came to know about the Satya Sai organization in Maharashtra, and so he joined the samiti there, and now he started coming for seva to Prashanthi Nilayam from the Pune Satya Sai organization. In 1989 he came for seva, the monthly seva that happens in Roaster. And whatever opportunity he got to come to Prashanthi Nilayam by way of service chances, he grabbed them. He came two or three times during that year, 1989. He also came along with the Wade Gaonkar group. Now the Wade Gaonkar group is another group from Maharashtra with people joining from many other states too, but this was the group which took care of the entire sanitation work of Prashanthi Nilayam, especially during major events, during birthdays, Shivratris, Guru Purnimas, conferences. It is this group which completely took over making arrangements for washrooms and toilets, and Kulkarni ji joined this Wade Gaonkar group, and they came and they did this selfless seva. And it was during this time that they got this group interview with Bhagwan. And Kulkarni ji says, Swami was so happy with our service. He gave us clothes and sweets and prasadam. And Swami told, your seva is supreme seva. Your seva is supreme seva. And so, for Kulkarni ji, these moments of coming to Puttaparthi, of engaging in seva in Puttaparthi, were so thrilling moments that he could not wait to come and become part of the ashram, become a permanent resident of the ashram. And he constantly was praying and thinking how to make this happen when he came for seva once again in 1991, March. He had this opportunity to meet Dr. Bhagwat, who was the superintendent of the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital. And Dr. Bhagwat guided him and told him, if you are really so clear about serving in Prashanthi Nilayam, why don't you write a letter to Swami? Because only he can give you that chance. And so Kulkarni ji wrote a letter, and very clearly he mentioned, Swami, I want to permanently stay here. Please give me this opportunity. I want to serve here all my life. This is all I need. And Bhagwan, during darshans, came and took that letter, and Swami looked at him, smiled, and Swami said, Acha, very good. Yes. And Kulkarni ji was so happy. I mean, it was such a positive message, Bhagwan confirming it, but nothing happened. Bhagwan blessed, but nothing happened officially. So he went back and he returned for seva again in September 1991, the same year. And now he met the secretary of the ashram, one Mr. Narayanaya. And he told him how Bhagwan had blessed him and how he would love to be here. So Mr. Narayanaya now went to Bhagwan with the request of Kulkarni ji, and Swami immediately accepted the prayer of Kulkarni ji, and he was told that he can serve in the ashram and stay as a permanent resident. So immediately Kulkarni ji went back to Pune, packed his little belongings and came back to Puttaparthi Prashanthi Nilayam in October 12, 1991. Remember this date so fondly, because that day Prashanthi became his home, and his life felt absolutely thrilled, blessed, fulfilled. Now, Kulkarni ji needed nothing in life, just the chance to stay in Prashanti and do whatever seva that he's given was perfect for him. And he initially was asked to serve in the tool room, in the maintenance department. So he served there for a year or two, and then he was shifted to the PRO office, the public relation office. And it was during that period that Mr. Rajan took over as the head of the PRO office, and there were many stores which were under Mr. Rajan. So he managed those stores. So whenever there was any decoration items needed, wheelchairs needed, all the yagnam items during Dasara, so there were so many requirements for the ashram, and it was always a very busy work, especially with Prashanti. Every other day there is some festival or the other, so it always kept him very busy. And when he initially started working also, he did not like get a room. He was initially staying in the Ganesh shed. There was a shed next to the Ganesh temple in those days. So he initially started staying there with others in that shed, and then he was moved later to shed number 30. He was moved to another shed. So all these places he was asked to move, he never had a permanent room for himself. And with time, Mr. Mervin Kurve became the PRO officer. And Mr. Mervin was so happy with Kulkarni ji, and Mr. Mervin was a very kind man, and he used to feel sorry for Kulkarni ji that, you know, it does not have a permanent room. So finally he said, why don't you come and live with me? So in West 1C8, Mr. Mervin Kurve was leaving, and he told Kulkarni ji, you come and stay with me. And it so happened that Mr. Mervin Kurve did not live for long. After a year, he merged with Bhagwan. And after that, Kulkarni ji had that room for himself to stay. And so when I asked him, you know, did you feel bothered that, you know, you never got a permanent room in the initial years? They kept shifting you from room to room because every room had an owner. And when the owner came, you had to leave. So he said, no. Whatever Swami arranges is fine. See, I didn't ask, but Swami himself arranged. See how Mervin Kurve, he himself told me, you come and stay in my room. And then after he passed away, then anyway, I had the room for myself. See, you don't have to ask. Swami will make the arrangements. You just have to serve. With God, you just don't need to ask. That is what he says. And he's been there now in the ashram for close to 30 years. And for him, just every opportunity to serve, every opportunity to see Swami, every opportunity to sit in the Sai Kulwant Hall, that itself is Mahaprasadam. I asked him, what are your sweet moments with Bhagwan? And he said, oh, there are a few. Once when Bhagwan was distributing prasadam, you know, Swami looked at me and Swami very sweetly asked, did you get prasadam? You know, there were these little moments. What joy Swami used to give, you know, when he used to look at me and with so much love he used to talk to me. He said, in 2009, all the elders of the ashram had the opportunity to give, offer flower to Bhagwan at the end of the bhajan session. And when it was my turn, I went to Swami. And, you know, that day I did not want to ask anything. I did not want to say anything except just offer my gratitude. So I just told Swami, Swami, you have given me this obhagya, you have given me this fortune to stay here. I am only grateful to you for this blessing on me. And he says, see, Swami, that day so sweetly, so lovingly, movingly, he pressed his hand on mine. What can I say? He has taken care of me so well. And with a childlike innocence and joy, he says, you know, I have that picture. When Swami pressed my hand. There are so many moments like this, so many moments. Just one day when I was just walking out of the office, during that time the Central Trust office was being renovated. In fact, it was the time when the Central Trust office was being completely redone. And in the year 2002, December 6th, when the office was enlarged and more cubicles and systems and infrastructure was added, Bhagwan used to often come to see the construction work. So he says, you know, it was during that time, one day when I was walking towards that road, towards the Central Trust office near the Ram Lakshman Sita statue, I was singing to myself, Parthishwara Maam Pahi Prabhu, O Lord of Parthi, take care of me. I was just simply singing, and he said, you know what, Swami came on the other side, and Swami looked at me exactly when I was singing that, and he blessed me. There are so many such sweet moments. One very cherished memory for him is one day he took his Likhita Japam book. You know, as I told you, every day he does this sadhana because he was given this mantropadesha by Swami Vireshwarananda. Every day he does this Likhita Japam morning and evening. So one day he took this Likhita Japam book and he went to Bhagwan, and Swami saw this book. Happened in 1993, and Swami was so happy. Swami blessed him profusely, and Swami said, good boy, good boy. So for him it was like the sadhana that he has been doing for so many years was accepted, acknowledged and complimented by Bhagwan himself. What comes to mind is that beautiful line from the bhajan Sanatana Sarathe Saisha. In that you have Suramuni Vandita Sadhu Jana Poshita. The Lord is one who takes care of sadhus. He is worshipped by sadhus. Suramuni Vandita. But He is the one who also looks after all the holy people, all the good people. And when I listen to the story of Kulkarni ji, this is what comes to mind. Bhagwan was that Sanatana Sarathi. He was that eternal charioteer who was always there for the protection of those who have given their heart to Him.
Yeah.
సాష్టాంగ శరణం సాయిష, సాష్టాంగ శరణం మమ గురుదేవ. దాట్ ఈస్ వాట్ జస్ట్ కమ్స్ టు యూ యాజ్ యూ లిసన్ టు దీస్ స్టోరీస్. యూ వాంట్ టు సరెండర్, యూ వాంట్ టు లీవ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎట్ హిస్ ఫీట్ అండ్ యూ వాంట్ టు లీడ్ సచ్ పాయస్ లైఫ్స్. ఐ ఆస్క్డ్ వన్స్ కుల్కర్ణిజీ, డిడ్ యూ నెవర్ ఆస్క్ స్వామి ఫర్ ఇంటర్వ్యూ? యూ యూ లెడ్ సచ్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ పాయస్ లైఫ్. డిడ్ యూ నెవర్ ఎవర్ seek a chance to be with Bhagwan in the personal interview room? Served for so many years. And he said, what will I do with an interview? That is not important. Inner view is important. Swami gives to whoever needs it. I don't need, I'm so full, I don't need anything. Swami knows best. If it was really needed, Swami would have given, but there is no need. I am so much in peace. And I said, see, anyway you were in peace. When you were serving in the Ramakrishna Mutt also, you were so content. So what is it that you got in Prashanti that you did not have before? And he said, hey, I had the opportunity to be in the direct presence of divinity. I was in the immediate presence of God. What else? This is such a matchless chance. It does not come easy. It does not come if you will it or I will it. It comes only if He graces you with this. It is not easy to get. I got that diamond. It is He who brought me. Do you think you can come if you want? Impossible. He gave me that opportunity. Whatever He needs, He will give. There is no need for us to ask. Even whether he's talking to me physically or it's not important. It's not needed. He says, see, I never touched his feet also unless whenever he asked me to touch. Even if he's standing in front of me, I would not do it unless he instructed me to do it, because discipline is very important. Discipline is very, very important in the spiritual path. And so many times I have seen, he told, whatever I think, Swami responds. So many times it has happened, especially if I'm going out for 1 or 2 days to some spiritual place, I would just stand in front of the Ganesha and I would tell everything to Ganesha and my trip would be smooth. Every little detail would be taken care of. So many times it has happened. So many times I've experienced that whatever I am thinking, he immediately responds. In 2011, just few days before Bhagwan left his mortal coil, I don't know why, one day, just in the darshan, I was sitting for darshan and I had this desire that I should get a vibhuti packet from Bhagwan. I should receive vibhuti from Bhagwan. And that day, darshan time, suddenly Swami stopped and from the car he threw a vibhuti packet at me. I didn't even ask. It was just one inner desire. I don't know why that desire happened. But, you know, when I heard about it, I just felt that, you know, when a desireless person seeks something, you know, God is so happy. It's like a mother. You know, when a mother has a child who never asks for anything, what? Whatever the mother gives, the child is always happy. And once such a child asks, you know, the mother immediately wants to do something. And I think it is perhaps that kind of a relationship. So see, even when during Dasara, when Swami used to pour this, sprinkle this sacred water, you know, Swami would always put it wherever I am sitting. It would always come. Swami would come that side and he would pour all those little things. He has done enough. Once when I had gone to Whitefield, when the Whitefield hospital came up and I had gone there to just see the hospital, and Bhagwan actually came that way, that day, and from the car he blessed me so beautifully. So there's no need to ask, there's no need to even seek anything. He will just, whatever we need, he just gives. And I asked him, see, you had so many sweet moments with Bhagwan. How did you feel when Bhagwan left his body? And he said, oh no, he's not gone anywhere. Why do you think he's gone? I just feel that he's sitting there. Every day he's sitting there in Saikulwanthal and he's watching everything. That's my conviction. That's how I feel. So for me, it's everything is the same. So I told him, so do you sometimes feel that, you know, maybe this thing should have happened, that thing should not have happened, you know, maybe this thing is not proper in the ashram. Do you feel it? No. I have no complaints. No complaints. We need to have patience. No complaints, no command, no demand. Accept and be patient. Whatever tasks come to you, do it with love. And for him, the task that gives him maximum joy, as I told you, is just writing the thought for the day. And he does it with so much love. In fact, there are two boards. So in the morning he writes one board, in the evening he writes one board. And so these are two spare boards which are there. So in the midnight, every day, it is changed. The boards are changed at the stroke of 12 by the sevadals who are on duty. So every day, one task that he does unfailingly is to write these two boards. Because initially there was only one thought for the day board. But in 2011, one more board was added, which is now kept beside the Shanti Bhavan. So you have one thought for the day board next to the Purnachandra Auditorium, and you have one beside Shanti Bhavan. So both these boards are maintained by Kulkarni ji. In the initial years, he himself used to select the passages, but later on, the passages were given to him by Radio Sai. In fact, when we started the Sai Inspire service in Radio Sai in those days, there were two thought for the day. So one was what was written in Prashantinilayam, and one was what went out as Sai Inspires from Radio Sai. And after a while, since both are from the ashram, we thought of merging this service. And that is how, with time, the Sai Inspires message became the thought for the day of the ashram also. And Kulkarni ji every day meticulously writes that. And, you know, depending on the size of the passage, he has to see what is the right font, how to adjust in that space, because everything, all the passages are not of equal length, and how to write clearly. And there are so many people who want to know, who is the person who is writing this? Who is the person who has this beautiful handwriting? Who is this person who does it so meticulously and who does it so beautifully? And he's someone who just want to be behind the scenes. In fact, he's not someone who would like to talk about himself. Earlier also, when people wanted to talk about him, know more about him, he is such an introvert, you know, he would not want any publicity. But again, it is Bhagwan's grace that he was willing to share and, you know, share these few little snippets from his life. Somehow, he's 70 now, and maybe now there is that feeling when we communicated to him that it will inspire so many if you share your journey, because your journey is not an ordinary journey. And with that enthusiasm and with that beautiful feeling of helping others, because he says our job should be only to help. And so in that spirit, he shared these snippets from his life. His routine every day in Prashantinilayam is to wake up 3:30, 4 o'clock. He is there for the Omkaram and Suprabhatam in the Mandir. 4:30, he is out of his little room and he does circumambulations, pradakshina of all the temples, Ganesha temple, the Nagadevtas, the Subramanya temple. And he is there no matter what in the Mandir for the Suprabhatam, never misses the Suprabhatam for 30 years. He's all the time there in the sanctum sanctorum of Prashanti Nilayam. And after the morning Suprabhatam, he comes back to his room and he does his own pujas and his own sadhana and swadhyaya and his japa. 8 o'clock he's in the office, 8 to 11 he's in the PRO office with whatever responsibilities he has to do apart from writing the thought for the day. Then he goes and the only meal for the day he has is lunch. One proper meal a day. Then he rests a little bit in the afternoon. He's back in the office at 3 o'clock. And so 3 to 4.30 he does again responsibilities in the PRO office. And in the earlier times he used to go to Mandir for bhajans. Because now you have restrictions. So he goes back to his room and he continues his sadhana. And in the night he just has milk and some one or two fruits, very, very light. He says these, he does not change these rules at all. A rule is a rule. He says, you know, once you cross 50, you have to, Swami says that you should eat only 50% of what is the size of the stomach. So your stomach should be filled 50% with food, 25% with water, and 25% it should be left empty. So this is what Bhagavan has said, and he follows that. So only one proper meal a day. Breakfast, he just has just 2-3 slices of bread, very light breakfast, and in the night only milk and one or two fruits. And no matter where he travels, even if he goes anywhere to visit any holy place also, this is his routine. You know, as they say, you know, you should eat to live. You should eat to live and not live to eat. And I feel, you know, with that, since it takes so little food, Swami says how food is so much connected to the spiritual life and spiritual path. Less food, less desires, less worries. And you see that in him, you know. He eats so less and he just the measured amount. And that is how he's so healthy. He's never visited the hospital all his life. He's 70 now. And he has so little desires. Absolutely very, very desireless person. And whatever happens, he is happy. I asked him, you know, what was your mother's wish? You think your mother is happy? And he said, see, when my mother passed away, I did the Shraddha. When you offer food to the departed soul, as soon as I offered the food, a crow came and took everything. And for him, that was the sign that mother is happy. That he said, yeah, initially my mother had some desire that I should get married. But after that thing, I was absolutely convinced that my mother is happy with the life that I am leading. So intuitively he felt that if he leads a life completely dedicated to Bhagavan, that will make his mother happy also. And he earned the grace of the Divine Mother. To lead a life of desirelessness is not easy. But he is someone who has not only walked this path, he has inspired others. In fact, the daughter of his maternal uncle also joined the Sharada Mutt in Pune. And she became a sannyasi. For 25 years now, she has been serving there as a sannyasi. So these people, through their life, through just their presence, through their silent work, they inspire, they lead, and they charge fellow pilgrims on the spiritual path, constantly telling us that if you are clear about your path, God will do everything for you. He will take care of everything and you will lead a life of absolute joy. Less desires, more joy. No desires, all joy. That is what we learn from the life of Kulkarni ji. And there are so many such souls in Prashanti Nilayam. And probably in the coming episodes, we will definitely learn from these lives in this series, Beacons of Prashanti Nilayam, in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So probably I will have in a month one or two episodes of Beacons of Prashanti Nilayam along with the story of Bhagwan Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, focusing on 50 to 55. So we will see how Bhagavan guides. It will just be the endeavor to share stories of him as well as stories of his servitors, because we learn from them how to walk on the path. They fill us with that inspiration, with that confidence to walk on this path. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share the story of Kulkarni ji. If you have any queries, if you would like to share anything, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. I take your leave with joy in my heart that I was able to share this lovely story. Sai Ram.